We're going to look now at the gospel. And from all that we've said so far, you kind of expect, you may have already studied it, what it's going to be about. You, it's from the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been going through on these readings, right? So we're now, we're still in chapter 5 and at verse 13. And so it begins, but we've been going right through in the last few weeks the Sermon on the Mount. We started with the Beatitudes. You are the salt of the earth. It's gotten to be a colloquial sort of a, oh, he's the salt of the earth. You know, we use it all the time. It comes here from Jesus. Now, what does he mean, you are the salt of the earth? Well, if the salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is not no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. This is the risk of the Christian life. We're either Christian or we're useless. I might be the greatest, or I don't know what, philosopher, theologian, social worker. See? But if I lack the salt, I'm zip. And I've made a, by believing in Jesus and becoming baptized and ordained, we've placed our whole life on one truth. If we don't grasp that truth and live it, there's nothing to us. What can you do with salt which loses its saltiness? Nothing. In other words, we've taken a stand to be specialists. We're going to be Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you're nothing. And if you lose it, how are you going to get it back? Well, thank God there's repentance, confession, you know, making up to the people we've injured, and going on. But the Lord is saying, do you understand who you are? When you believe in me, you see, you've placed yourself in a transcendent world. And you live there, and you witness to it. Now, if you lose that saltiness, you're nothing. Even if you're a big businessman or a bishop or whatever, if you lose that, you're nothing. What a risk. See, if I was a communist, I met some very great communists in Italy. I used to go, I forgot his name, was it Berlinguer? One of the great communist politicians and orators. I used to go once in a while to listen to him. And I wanted to hear what they're saying. But you would meet some of these communists who are so committed to working out, you know, social justice. So they're worth something. But if that's all I do, I'm worth nothing. I have to have salt and be salt. You see? Salt loses its taste. How can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. The Lord is telling us, look, be serious. I love you. My Holy Spirit has drawn you so that you believe in me, so that you serve me, so that you serve my people. Do it, then you're salt. If you don't do it, you're good for nothing. I've got plenty of social workers, plenty of orators, plenty of administrators. I don't need you for that. I need you to proclaim my word, to portray my word. That's what I need. And so, you got to do that. Now, part of this, as we're going to see, is, again, to use Catherine's word, love. You know, as we're going to see. You are the light of the world. Now, in John, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So we're the light of the world insofar as we resemble Jesus. You remember, maybe you don't, I remember how many years ago, there was the cover of Time. I don't think they'd ever do this again, but in those days, the cover of Time was like the 10 saints in the world. I don't remember the stats, but six of them were Catholics. There was Gandhi, and then Mother Teresa, and, you know. If you're the light of the world, people notice. If you're really the light of the world, you may not get on the cover of Time, but you give people hope. Do you know what that's like? To be loving enough to give people hope? To care for them and to tell them about Jesus, remind them about Jesus, gives them hope. That's why they come to us. Okay? So you are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. In other words, if you really got the goods, people are going to notice. That's all. They're going to notice. If you've really got the goods. You see? A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Look at Saint Therese, hidden, buried in a Carmel in France, and a few years after her death, with a worldwide reputation. You can't hide the goods. You see? Then another example. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Haven't you been around people that are like that? They seem to light up wherever they go. And people are at ease with them. They spot Christ in them. I remember somebody saying to me, it was a special grace on their part. What did they say now? Something like that. You reflect Christ. And I don't even know what that means. Well, God gave that person a grace because Christ does live in me when I'm not in mortal sin. And so they saw it, and but their answer was, I don't even know what that means, which was beautiful, right? Regular people are nice. So they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now we come to the secret of all of this. This next line, just so, your light must shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's the whole point, to reveal the Father. You know, you can do a lot of great social action stuff because people's suffering bothers you. I want to get rid of suffering in this world. Well, you're not. People are still going to die anyway. You know? We don't get rid of suffering because it bothers us. We get rid of suffering because it bothers Christ in these people. That's why. So, you see, they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Then you know that is Christian social action. Because they're honoring God. They're saying, you know, in whatever words they use, they're honoring the God who's moving us because they catch a glimpse of Him in the way we live and in our motive for caring. Now I'm going to go back to that text, as I said, 1 John 3:16, and I have it here now. Oops. The way we come to know love, in this we know the love, literally, that He laid down His life for us. Now listen. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers, for the sisters. not. Here's a suggestion. You might want to lay down your life. No. This is it. So we too, you see, ought to lay down our lives for the brothers, for the sisters. This is not, you know, something luxurious, you know, Kalki shows the luxe, a little extra. It's the essence of Christianity, to so live, to so love, that people see the Father. That's what it's all about. And so it goes on, see, to say, if someone has worldly means, which is a pretty good translation, sees a brother in need, and why refuses him compassion? Well, I'm not going to find fault with the translation. But closes his heart to him. How can you say the love of God is in that person? Then he goes on to say, you see, children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Indeed means we do something. You know how James says, you know, trying to see the vacuity of a faith that just says, I believe, and doesn't do anything. You remember that in James where he says, somebody sees somebody in need and says, go, my friend, be warm, be well fed, and does nothing for him. What good is that? Well, our faith can be like that. I believe. Oh, I belong to the sodality. But you don't love. And you don't care for those who are in need. Some way or other, not everybody's supposed to go to the inner city. But Augustine has a great line on this, by the way. I'm going to paraphrase what he says. But he's saying now, look, if you see a brother in need, and you don't do anything for him, how can you say the love of God is in you? At least part with a couple of bucks. You know, make a gesture, do something to reveal the Father. I forgot exactly what Augustine's words are, but that's the gist. You know, do something. Part with a few bucks. Do something so that this poor man, and I don't know about you, but right now, thinking of all these people getting evicted, losing their cars. And these are people who had houses and families and not just the really, really poor. And what about the really, really rich? But never mind them. What about us? To care for them, to show them the love of the Father. So to love indeed and truth first means to love indeed. Like, indeed we love. We really love. In truth means to reveal the Father. Truth in Jesus, in John, always means the revelation of the Father through Jesus. So to love in truth, this is what characterizes Christian social action. It reveals the love, the compassion of the Father. And that's what it means to love in truth.